Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It is New Covenant Month here at Basic Gospel. We are starting a new topic today. It is our favorite topic, or at least one of our favorite topics. We talk about this quite often. Why? Because it's so important for us as believers to understand that we're no longer in the old covenant. We are in a new covenant, a covenant that Jesus ushered in through his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus died to fulfill the old covenant. He also died to ratify the new, and that new is in effect today, and that new governs our relationship with God. And so if we're going to really grow in our relationship with God, if we're going to really grow in our knowledge of Christ, if we're really going to grow in grace, we need to understand this new covenant that we live in. And so today we're going to start this journey called the New Covenant Journey. And I want to read a passage out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And this is one of those passages that you need to star in your Bible, underline, memorize, just go back to it time and time and time again. Because really, this sets the table for this new covenant life that we have in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to read the first six verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? So Paul's apostleship was being called into question. There were a group of people known as super apostles that had come into Corinth, and they were pulling attention away from the real gospel onto themselves. And that's why there were so many problems going on in that particular city. And so they started to question Paul's authority, Paul's apostleship. And so he says, do we need letters of recommendations to you or from you? And then he says this, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. I love that analogy right there and the imagery of that. We know that God, with his finger, wrote the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone that he gave to Moses. Moses brought them down from the mountain. And those were sacred stones, and they were put in the ark of the covenant, and they went with the people wherever they went. But now something new is happening. God is writing his story on our hearts, and that is more significant, more powerful, and he does so through his Spirit. So such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. So what was Paul's confidence as he ministered this new covenant? He knew that the Holy Spirit would take that message and would write it on the hearts of those who believed. That was Paul's confidence, and that can be our confidence today as well. And he says this, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That old covenant had a purpose, and that purpose was to condemn us, to bring us to that point of death, knowing that we were dead, separated from God. This new covenant has a ministry of life. Once we know that we're dead, Now we need life. Well, where are we going to find that? In this new covenant of grace that's been given to us in Christ Jesus.
Indeed.
Jesus is that source of life. So Paul was a minister of the new covenant. Why? Because that covenant gives life. And that's what this ministry is all about. It's a ministry of the new covenant. Why? Because we believe it's important that all Christians understand that they truly are new covenant believers. That will change your life. That will rock your world. That will enable you to see the love of God and experience the love of God in ways that you've never dreamed possible. So this month, if you're struggling, we're going to try to connect you to this new covenant, anchor you there so that you can find solid footing for your life and experience all that God has for you through His love and grace.
Yes, indeed. That's Basic Gospel, and you found it on your radio dial. Glad you joined us today. 1-800-677-9377. That's another way you can join us, and we'd love for you to do just that. Plenty of open lines if you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, perhaps the new covenant journey that you're upon. Why, we'd love to hear from you today on this edition of Basic Gospel. 800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go and talk with Joel, listening to us on the internet today. Hi, Joel.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you today. How are you?
Good hearing from you guys. Got a question for you, and just need to preface it for just a second. My wife and I are both believers, and I've been listening to you guys for several years, and so I really appreciate the New Covenant message you guys are preaching and sharing out there. It's really awesome, and we've learned a lot from you guys.
Thank you, Joel.
The question that I have, actually, it was more my wife was asking this question. She was doing a Bible study this morning, and she was reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and she gets to verse 10, and it talks about appearing before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, both good and evil. And she her question, and I was really struggling to properly answer this, was, what's the good and evil? Like, are we being judged for sins? And because it doesn't seem consistent with the rest of the New Testament, the New Covenant message, and even the rest of what Paul's saying. So she understands this, and I was explaining to her, but the fact remains it's there in black and white. And I've done some digging into the Greek root words and whatnot, but it's still... It more confused her more than anything else. So could you address that a little bit?
Well, we sure will, Joel. And I think it's an important discussion in light of this new covenant that we live in today, the fact that our sins have already been judged. They were judged at the cross. We were declared to be sinners, and there was punishment that was meted out, and Jesus took that punishment for us. But that fulfilled that old covenant for us, and now we will never stand judgment for our sins. So what in the world does this passage in 2 Corinthians 5 mean? And I think it's important to understand that it's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. That is the operative word in that particular passage. And Richard distinguished between the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment.
Well, the judgment seat of Christ is a judgment that only believers go through, because we have cast our lot with Jesus, we've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and now we get to go through an evaluation. This particular judgment seat, Paul, it's fascinating that Paul would use the phrase here, because he was writing to Corinthians, and in Corinth they had one of these. It was called the Bema seat, and it was right outside in the main agora, you know, the shopping area, and they used to come there and adjudicate all kinds of things, or receive your wreath during the games. And so Paul is not talking about are you saved or not. He's saying to people, consider what you're doing now that you're a Christian, now that you are a believer and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Are your works being done by grace through faith in the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, or are you doing them in your own strength? And so all God's going to do for saved people, for his children, is help us see that, to evaluate that, and the stuff that we've done in our own strength, he says, well, that was a nice try, just throw those away. The rest of it, you get to say thank you, because look what the Spirit did. Now, he had used me for crying out loud. How was that possible? And so it becomes a judgment of thanksgiving and true humility. Notice humility isn't groveling. It's knowing who you are in Christ. And therefore, you can say, I get it. I understand, Lord. Thank you for showing me and making it clear. As opposed to the white throne judgment, where in Revelation, John, it's revealed to him that the dead are brought to the white throne. They're right. You know, the human dead are raised from the dead and brought to the white throne to be killed again. Death itself is brought to the white throne. Death and Hades are brought to the white throne. And this is a final judgment. It's done. And when you're judged there, the one piece of judgment is your name found in the Lamb's Book of Life. If it is not, you're killed in the second death, and that's the end of you.
Right, okay.
So, Joel, one of the things that is confusing about this passage in 2 Corinthians is the way translators render verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body. So it's about works. It's not about sins. It's about works, the things we have done, whether good or bad. And so whenever we see the word bad, we automatically think sins. We automatically think of that. But really, this is an evaluation, as Richard was saying, of the works, the value of the works. Were they of value to the kingdom of God, or were they worthless as far as the kingdom of God was concerned? And that takes you right back to 1 Corinthians 3, where Paul writes that these works will be judged, and we'll find out what kind of building materials we used. Did we use those precious metals, or did we use wood, hay, or straw? Wood, hay, or straw aren't building materials in God's kingdom. Those are worldly building materials.
Right.
And we're going to find out if we were relying on those, or whether we were using the building materials of God's kingdom, which would be the costly stones, the gold and the silver. So that's what this passage in 2 Corinthians is really talking about.
Okay. Now, if I may ask a quick follow-up question. Kind of doing some other digging on this. I don't think this is the case, but some of the research I read talked about the possibility of losing rewards. Doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me. What do you think about that?
Well, if you're not using the right materials, you're not going to be commended for that. That's all that's talking about.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with rewards. Is my mansion going to be bigger than yours? Well, of course not. I mean, the reward is we get to be with Jesus face to face.
Right. And many of the commentaries I read made it out to be some sort of merit system. We're supposed to be pursuing rewards. And my thought was, well, isn't the presence of God reward enough? You know, I don't know. That was my take on it.
Well, I think I'm in your camp.
Yes,
I think
exactly.
Being in his presence is enough. And simply hearing those words, well done, my good and faithful servant, I think that is going to be sufficient. No one is going to be marching around in heaven and folks looking and saying, wow, look at him, you know, the paparazzi following.
The all-pro team. You
know? That's right. We're all going to be on our knees singing praise, glory, and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who is worthy.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk to you guys. I mean, some of the commentaries I read had about half the answer, and then the other half was not New Covenant based. So I wanted to talk to you guys, get your take on it. But thank you for answering my question.
You are more than welcome, Joel, and thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
No problem.
Plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. That phone number, 1-800-677-9377. It's good wherever you hear the broadcast, 800-677-9377.
Well, let's go to Bloomfield, New Jersey, and talk to Navarre, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Navarre.
Hello, Jace. God bless you.
And you as well, my friend.
Very good question. I just want to say a comment that good works cannot save us. If you know a lot of people, you know, good works cannot save us. It is a reflection of our salvation.
That's well put, Navarre. Good works are an outflow of our salvation. We're basically working out what God is working inside of us. And we think of good works, I think a worldly perspective. We think of projects, we think of getting things done. You know, a good work, and as far as God is concerned, is forgiving somebody that has offended you. God is working that forgiveness inside of you, and when you step out in faith to that person who's offended you and said, I forgive you, let's be reconciled, let's allow God to strengthen us, that's what God's looking for. Faith being expressed in love and forgiving one another is an expression, a very tangible expression of that love. Somebody who's in need, and you reach out and help meet that need, whether it's physical or spiritual. That's an expression of God's love to someone else. And those things, when you add them all together, that's what advances the kingdom of God. When John wrote Jesus' words, it said, all the world will know that you are my disciples by your love one for another. What's important to him. So I think we need to kind of let go of our worldly thinking as far as works and rewards and merit and all of that sort of stuff, and to grab hold of the mind of Christ in regards to this subject.
Okay. One quick question. What do you think is a carnal Christian?
A carnal Christian?
Thanks.
Well, it's used here in Corinthians, and it's someone that really hasn't grown up or matured in their faith. They're still making decisions through fleshly motivation instead of allowing the Spirit of God to move them and compel them and to transform them. That's why I think John in his first letter said, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven. I write to you, fathers, because you know the one and only God. I write to you, young men, because you are strong in the word and you have learned to overcome the evil one. I think there's this process that we go through, this growth that we go through of letting go of the old and taking up the new in Christ. And that takes time.
I just wanted to know, can they be condemned for living in sin? Because usually a person that calls himself a carnal Christian is just because they live in sin but have accepted Christ.
Well, they certainly can be judged by the world and by the Christian world, and we can point our fingers of judgment at them. But if they're truly in Christ there is no condemnation. That's what Paul wrote in Romans 8. If you're in Christ, that's the big deal, Navarre. If somebody is in Christ, that's why we have to, I think, start at ground zero in almost every single conversation. We can't assume things. And so we need to start right there with the basic gospel message. And when we do, we can find out if somebody's truly in Christ or not. And we've had that opportunity. Many folks have called this broadcast and have said, you know, I'm a Christian. And then when they've heard the real gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they recognize that they had never really responded to Jesus. They've responded to what the church wanted them to respond to, but never Jesus. And they've come to know him personally. And then, at that point, they were in Christ. And that no condemnation for them applies. So the big deal is if a person is in Christ.
Okay, I keep listening because I listen. Well, you know, I want to understand this grace message. Cause sometimes I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, keep hanging in there, Navarre. Yes. And what we'll do, let me put you on hold. We have a great new resource that we're offering this month. It's called The New Covenant Journey, and it's actually a Bible study guide, and it really takes you from start to finish through this gospel message. We begin with the new covenant. We take a look at Jesus. We take a look at the Word of God. We take a look at the cross, the resurrection, our new identity in Christ, how should we live, and then faith, hope, and love. And this new covenant flows through it from start to finish. We're very, very excited about this because we think it can be monumental in the lives of believers all across this country and around the world. And so we're making it available this month. Let me put you on hold, and we will take your name and address, and we'll send you a copy, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it.
You hang on, Navarre.
And we'll be giving that information in just a few minutes as we close the broadcast.
Let's go to Washington, D.C., and talk with William listening to us on WAVA. Hi, William.
Yes, sir. You know, I think you're talking about pretty much what I'm talking about. I'm at a very difficult place in my life. Some people call it a midlife crisis, but it's not. It's much more than that. I, since God saved me, and I'll sometimes say since I was saved, but since God saved me, I feel like I have done much worse than I did before. So far as, you know, I like to call mistakes because sin, you know, I used to hate the word sin, but I don't anymore because I know what it means. I mean, it just means miss the mark, but I mean, still, I mean, it's, you know, you're not perfect. But I just feel like if, you know, when it, you're talking about the judgment seat and all this stuff, the judgment seats, and there's one for Christians, and I keep on thinking about, you know, like if it comes down to deciding what I've done for Christ, which I pray I've done more than I think I have, but I don't know, and I keep thinking of that one of those science fiction movies, Terminator, and the two or three other ones that, by the time they're left with the stuff that I've done that's not of Christ, there won't be nothing left of me. You know, I'll just be a beyond the blur. And
well,
I just,
William, as far as God is concerned, when you go and stand before Him, you're not going to be talking about your works at all. You're going to be talking about the work of Jesus Christ and what He accomplished for us through His death, burial, and resurrection. That's what matters, William. And Christ has done everything. I mean, everything that was needed to save you and to save you completely. And William, He loved you so much that He declared you to be a child of God. And so when you and I, if we're there side by side, I stand there as a child of God, and you stand there as a child of God. And guess what? We're equal in God's sight because of the grace of God. But William, you hang on. We want to talk to you further. We appreciate your call. You hang on, okay, my friend? We have some good news to share with you.
Boy, I'll say.
Thank you.
Well, friends, when you give to support Basic Gospel, you're supporting more than just a radio program. True, without radio, the program couldn't be heard. But the reason that we are on the radio is to provide, and all the other sources, resources that we provide, is to spread the word, to share the life-changing, liberating truth of the love, grace, and life of our Lord Jesus Christ as demonstrated through His death, burial, and resurrection. That is why we're on the air every day, and that is what you have a part in when you give to Basic Gospel. Now, this month, we're offering a new and exciting resource, as Bob mentioned, to each of you for a gift of any amount. It's our latest resource, the Basic Gospel Study Series called The New Covenant Journey. And you'll find it when you stop by to make your gift at basicgospel.net. Or you can speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. That's 800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time. The New Covenant Journey. That's the Bible Study Series that we're offering for a gift of any amount. As a reminder also, there are many resources available to aid your understanding of the Christian life, and you can find them when you visit store.basicgospel.net. Please be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter as well. And now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.